Good morning. Todd Zwillick with you here on The Takeaway with Celeste Headlee. Well, in his first ever jailhouse interview, Bernie Madoff insists that banks and hedge funds were complicit in his action leading up to his arrest. That Ponzi scheme, remember him? Madoff sat down with our partner, The New York Times, in his first interview for publication since his arrest in December 2008. Joining us is Louise Story, a Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Louise, good morning.
Good morning.
So your colleague, Diana Enrique, sat down with Madoff, and he says the banks and hedge funds knew what he was up to.
He does. He says they had to have known. And in fact, he talked with her about this evidence he's been giving to the trustee, which has been trying to recover damages for the victims. And that trustee, you've probably seen in the news over the past several weeks, has been filing all these different lawsuits against institutions as powerful as J.P. Morgan, saying they knew what was going on. They were suspicious. They've got to owe money back to these victims because, you know, in paper losses, there are over $60 billion of money that people lost in this Ponzi.
So Madoff says they knew or they must have known. Like, does he say, I have evidence that they knew because I talked to them about it, or they must have known because that's just the way Wall Street works?
He says they had to know. And he talks about things like, you know, he filed a lot of regulatory filings, which were public, which they could look at. And those were different than the kind of information they had. J.P. Morgan, for instance, was his primary banker. So they would have all sorts of information about his money transfers and so on. And what he was saying to my colleague was that if they compared those things, they would know. Now, of course, in this lawsuit that was also just filed against J.P. Morgan by the trustee for the victims, that lawsuit lays out all kinds of internal emails and so on among J.P. Morgan bankers where they were expressing a lot of doubt about how could these returns be real. J.P. Morgan has publicly said that they're fighting this, that that it's not true, that they knew. But, you know, we've got Madoff in jail saying that all of these different hedge funds and several different big banks that worked with him had to know.
But to a certain extent, Louise, this doesn't change the game. I mean, that's not legally admissible. Bernie Madoff saying, no, they had to have known I was really blatant about it. I mean, they can't take that to court.
Well, you know, and of course, my colleague who interviewed him on Tuesday down in the jail cell or down in the jail room in North Carolina, she has a book coming out, and the book's title is The Wizard of Lies.
Yeah.
Right? You know, this Ponzi scheme went on for over 16 years. And so, you know, his evidence is not going to carry a lot of weight in court, but it's interesting.
It is interesting.
So what does Diana Enrique say about the way Bernie Madoff is looking in jail? I mean, is he bench pressing weights? How does it, you know, how's his cell, stuff like that?
Well, she says, you know, he's much thinner. He's in rumpled clothes. Of course, you know, his son, you remember at the end of last year, one of his two sons committed suicide at the end of last year. And so she did talk with him about why he didn't go to that funeral. It had been reported at the end of last year that he refused to go, but he told her that actually the jail would not let him go, and in any case, he didn't want to cause a media circus around the funeral.
Which, again, so, we don't actually know is true.
We don't know what's true with, you know, as Diana Henriquez calls him, the Wizard of Lies.
The Wizard of Lies. So in between Madoff's Ponzi scheme and now, of course, we had major financial reform on Wall Street, which may or may not stay in place over the next 2 years, but probably will. Anything in Madoff's statements about what J.P. Morgan knew or what regulators should have known that would be corrected in this bill? In other words, if another Madoff came along now, would they catch him sooner thanks to Washington?
Well, you know, the SEC is supposed to watch after funds like this, and so they're stepping up different efforts. The big problem now, Todd, as you know, in Washington, is that funding for these agencies is really tight, and the SEC
Oh, yes.
is complaining that they don't have enough money to do their job. So, you know, that is a scary prospect. I should throw in one more thing for the sports fans out there. You know, there's been a lot written in the last few months about how the owners of the New York Mets
yeah.
were investors with Madoff.
Right.
But like a lot of investors, they also made money along the way. And so there's been a lot of question about, did the owners of the New York Mets know about this fraud? And Madoff, take it for what you will, he said the other day that the New York Mets owners knew nothing about what he was doing. So they're not, in his mind, they're not in the same camp as the banks and the funds that worked with him.
They're a little more pure. Louis, speaking of New York Mets fans, Donald Trump is a Mets fan, isn't he? Famous New York Mets fan?
He's a big New Yorker.
Well, he's from Queens. I think he's from Jamaica, Queens, as far as I remember. Now, Donald Trump is upset, right, over a German company acquiring the New York Stock Exchange. What's up with this deal? Is it going through? And why would Donald Trump be so upset about it, do you think?
Well, this is a huge merger. And, of course, you know, the New York Stock Exchange is one of the most important institutions in finance and legendary in America. It's where stock trading started back in the 1700s. And so, you know, the question is, are we losing some American institutions? Most people...
Well, let's let Donald Trump speak to that. Let's let Donald Trump speak to that.
I think it's ridiculous that... This country allows Germany to buy our New York Stock Exchange is ridiculous. That's my opinion. I think it's great for Germany. I think it's another black guy for the United States.
Donald Trump thinks he's running for president, Louis Story.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of exchanges have been merging with their counterparts overseas because even though we all like to sleep, the markets never sleep. And so the trading is kind of going round the clock with these mergers in Europe and the U.S. And I'd watch for some exchanges in Asia later on to merge well with some of these over here.
Wait, so you're saying it's not a black eye for the United States?
You know,
it's business. Hey, Wall Street understands business.
They operate on their own set of rules, but it's certainly a big merger, and it'll be an important to watch.
Donald Trump knows well enough. He's a businessman. He knows there's not a lot of patriotism on Wall Street. They can make a buck doing this. They're going to do it, right?
But you know, my question for Donald Trump would be, you know, how patriotic is it to fire people, right? Because he's very good at the "you're fired," and so
he makes a buck doing it. Let's not forget that show makes a lot of money on Fox. Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Her colleague, Diana Enriquez, interviewed Bernie Madoff in the jailhouse about his Ponzi scheme from 2 years ago. Thanks, Louise.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.